It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is Friday, April 16th, 2021, and that means, hey, it's a Friday, it's a weekday. So yeah, it's time for News to Me. And it's 1900 UTC. I always end up saying that at the beginning. But hey, thanks for being here. This was going to be a fun one, I think. I've got a lot of headlines. We also have a bunch of US news because there are like three or four police murders, well, police murdering citizen stories. But we start the way we always start.
World news.
That's right. World news. So you've got a story or so from Reuters before they go behind their little paywall and disappear from our lives. Rome funeral workers are protesting as coffins pile up in cemeteries. Undertakers protested on Friday against a massive backlog of coffins building up at Rome cemeteries, saying city authorities were failing to cope with a surge of coronavirus deaths. Funeral directors said more than 2,000 bodies were being stored at Rome's sole crematorium, which can handle around 50 cremations a day, while mortuary rooms at other cemeteries were packed, awaiting burial. The way I'm saying these words is funny to me. Burial or interment. Some bodies have been in storage since the start of the year, they said. Every few days, we're told the cemeteries are backlogged, are blocked, and they haven't got any more room to take in the dead, said Giovanni Caccioli, head of Italy's Federation of Funeral Workers. In a statement earlier this week, the city council company that handles burials and cremations, AMA, that's like Alpha Mike Alpha, acknowledged that it was facing an unprecedented situation and was working to create 60,000 new burial plots for the city. AMA is doing its utmost to deal with the steadily increasing number of deaths. It said the city had registered 4,763 more deaths between October 2020 and March 2021 than in the same months of 2019 to 2020, with the rising trend continuing into April. Real surprise with coronavirus deaths spiking that deaths are spiking, but apparently it's news to the burial company here. Really, why don't they just incinerate all the bodies? We had a story about that it was like mandatory in China in some places. A video obtained by Reuters showed large refrigerated containers parked outside the Prima Porta Cemetery. Workers said the containers were being used to hold coffins. Protesters on Friday laid funeral wreaths in front of Temple of Hercules, close to Rome City Hall. "Sorry they don't allow us to bury your loved ones," funeral homes wrote on the wreaths. Earlier this week, a local man plastered huge posters across the city apologizing to his mother, who died in early March, but whose body is still stuck in storage. "I'm sorry, Mum, that I've not been able to have you buried yet," the posters say. Opposition politicians say the crisis could have been averted if the city had heeded warnings in 2017 that it needed to modernize and develop the crematorium. Golly, I had a coughing fit there. I guess it's because I spoke ill of the dead? I don't know. But I'm pumped. Opponents of Myanmar's junta have set up a national unity government. Opponents of Myanmar's junta on Friday announced the formation of a national unity government, which includes ousted lawmakers, members of ethnic minority groups, and figures in the anti-coup protest, according to a video statement read out on Public Voice Television. The announcement was made on the Facebook page of the opposition Public Voice Television, which posted a video statement by veteran Myanmar democracy activist Min Ko Nang. "Please welcome the people's government," said Min Ko Nang, said in a TIN address in Burmese. A second post named the heads of 15 senior posts in the National Unity Administration, with the country's deposed president, U Win Myint, and detained opposition leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, retaining their pre-coup posts. It also named heads of various ministries and opposition, from Defense and Home Affairs, Interior Ministry, to a Ministry of International Cooperation. In a Twitter post, the Unity Government's Minister of International Cooperation, Dr. Sasa, who goes by one name, said he had humbly accepted the responsibility of his new post. In his address, Min Ko Nang said that the will of the people was the Unity Government's priority, while acknowledging the scale of the task at hand. "We're trying to get this out from the roots, so we have to sacrifice a lot," he said. So, go here. The turmoil... There were no immediate reports of violence overnight, but two people were shot and killed in the central town of Mingyan, Radio Free Asia reported. The military has also been rounding up its critics and has published the names of more than 200 people wanted under a law that makes it illegal to encourage mutiny or dereliction of duty in the armed forces. Two prominent protest organizers were arrested on Thursday, along with an actor and singer, both known for speaking out against the coup. In another show of defiance, a previously unknown group, Ayeyawardi Federal Army, said on Facebook it aimed to fight the military to restore an elected government and protect the people, and it called for volunteers. Gave no details about how it aimed to take on the well-equipped and experienced army. The turmoil has alarmed Myanmar's neighbors in Southeast Asia, who have been trying to encourage talks between the rival sides. Southeast Asian leaders will meet in Indonesia on April 24th to discuss the situation, Thai and Indonesian media reported. Junta leader Senior General Min Aung Hlaing was due to attend, a Thai broadcaster said, but the Jakarta Post said it had not been confirmed whether the summit would include representatives of the junta or the former government. SASA, however, said ASEAN, the ASEAN, the regional group, should not invite Murder-in-Chief Min Aung Hlaing to the summit. So, strong words. I think that's pretty exciting. Hopefully, this people's government can regain control. It makes me feel like they're making progress towards getting rid of the military rule. So Ukraine's in the news. They are saying Ukraine may seek nuclear weapons if left out of NATO. A Ukrainian diplomat has reportedly warned Kiev may be forced to acquire nuclear weapons to safeguard the country's security if NATO does not accede to its membership demand amid spiraling tensions with neighboring Russia. Andriy Melnyk, Ukraine's ambassador to Germany, suggested to national public radio network Deutschlandfunk on Thursday that President Volodymyr Zelensky's administration was weighing up all possible options as fears mount over a possible escalation of hostilities in the country's conflict-stricken east. Either we are part of an alliance like NATO and also make our contribution to strengthen this Europe, or we have only one option, to rearm ourselves. Germany's DPA, it's Delta Papa Alpha, news agency quoted Melnyk as saying, "How else could we guarantee our defense?" His comments came after intensified fighting in recent weeks in Ukraine's Donetsk and Luhansk regions, where government forces have battled Russian-backed separatists since the rebels seized a swath of territory there in April 2014. There's a nice little map there. Ukraine's got a large border with Russia, so it's kind of interesting where Donetsk and Luhansk and the separatist-held areas are. Anyway, it's worth checking out. It's over on aljazeera.com if you're curious. Nuclear proliferation is never really good for world peace, I think. But I totally agree. They've got to work to protect themselves somehow. Alrighty. Well, that's pretty heavy. Don't worry. It keeps getting heavier for a little while. Hong Kong's Jimmy Lai is getting 14 months in prison for unauthorized assembly. He's the guy that owned like that Apple newspaper. If you remember, he went in and out of jail and was kind of like a big pro-democracy guy. Well, here's the story. Hong Kong media tycoon Jimmy Lai was sentenced to 14 months in prison, while 9 other activists received jail time or suspended sentences on Friday for taking part in unauthorized assemblies during mass pro-democracy protests in 2019. Senior barrister Martin Lee, who helped launch the city's largest opposition Democratic Party in the 1990s and is often called the former British colony's father of democracy, was given an 11-month suspended sentence. It was the first time that Lai, one of Hong Kong's most prominent democratic activists, who has been in jail since December after being denied bail in a separate national security trial, received a prison sentence. Lai was found guilty in 2 separate trials for unauthorized assemblies on August 18th and August 31st of 2019. He received a 15-month sentence for the first, reduced by 3 months in mitigation, and an 8-month sentence for the second, of which he will serve 2. District Court Judge Amanda Woodcock said even though the August 18th assembly was peaceful, there was a latent risk of possible violence, and that a deterrent sentence and immediate imprisonment was appropriate. Lai's repeated arrests have drawn criticism from Western governments and international rights groups, who raise concerns over waning freedoms in the global financial hub, including freedom of speech and assembly. And it goes on here. This is on Reuters.com. Prosecutors said he will face additional charges of conspiracy to collude with foreign forces and conspiracy to obstruct the course of justice. Earlier this week, the tabloid published a handwritten letter Lai sent to his colleagues from prison saying, "It is our responsibility as journalists to seek justice. As long as we do not let evil get its way through us, we are fulfilling our responsibility. It is time for us to stand tall," he wrote. So I felt that was a little uplifting. There's so much news out there. Just news.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Well, we will get the news over with shortly. I've got a little bit of... Anyway, I was in a mood earlier when I was picking the song. So we've got Mother, Danzig singing Mother. It's a live cut of that song. That'll be fun if you like that kind of music. So here's something kind of cool. A page turns in Cuba as Raul Castro makes way for the next generation. Raul Castro is due to officially step down from the Cuban political life during the country's Communist Party Congress that begins Friday. He's expected to cede the post of Party Secretary General, the country's most powerful role, to Miguel Díaz-Canel, who took over from Castro as Cuba's president in 2018. The move represents a step in the transition of power from Castro family to a new generation born after the 1959 revolution. More than 60 years after Fidel Castro entered Havana and took power, Cuba is poised for public life without a member of the Castro clan. The 89-year-old Raul, a fellow leader of the 1959 revolution who first took over Cuba's presidency from his ailing brother in 2006, will attend his final Communist Party Congress as Secretary General this weekend. At the close of the four-day event, Castro will hand over the reins to its freshly elected chief, with his protege, Díaz-Canel, the favorite in line for the role. Raul Castro's departure from political life, has been expected for a long time. Cuba specialist Stefan Witkowski of the Institute for Higher Learning on Latin America, abbreviated IHEAL, or I guess the acronym IHEAL, I-H-E-A-L, in Paris, told France 24. "It represents a step in the process of generation transition between those who lived through the 1959 revolution and the new generation. Indeed, the date surely wasn't chosen randomly," the specialist noted, coinciding as it does with the 60th anniversary of the failed landing attempt at the Bay of Pigs by 1,400 anti-Castro paramilitaries trained and financed by the CIA. It's highly symbolic. And so there's a lot of detail here, but... Witkowski is quoted heavily, and we go through Cuba regularly lauds its management of the COVID crisis, having registered only 88,445 cases, including 476 deaths among the population of 11.2 million. What will also need to be determined is what's next in the revolutionary process. What will become of the process of institutionalizing the 1959 revolution? Raul Castro is a figure who's an impact on the entire people. From now on, Cuban politics enters a new phase. It'll be up to this new generation to take up the torch and prove its legitimacy. Here's Mother.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words. What they mean, what they say. We'll be right back.
thank you. And thank you so much for listening. I want to be sure and mention you're listening to Anon Radio on anonradio.net, powered by SDF, the Public Access Unix System, which is sdf.org, Sierra Delta Foxtrot.org. If you want to join up and get in a shell account, all you have to do is SSH over is new at sdf.org and fill out the form. It's really quick, easy, and it's fun. Once you get in, a couple of popular destinations, you can go to Bboard and learn all about it, or go over to COM, C-O-M, it's a chat program, and you can join us in the Anon Radio chat room. Just G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase. You'll end up in the room. You can chat with us about what's going on the show. And right now, it's 1900 to 1930 UTC. That's my show, the news to me, Monday through Friday. But every single day, Monday through Monday, like every day of the week at 1930 UTC, it's the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So you definitely want to stick around for that. The synths, the synthesizers are just choice. We had a lot of fun yesterday. The show's a blast, whether it's looking at dudes or golf balls or playing with synthesizers or doing something else. It's always very dubious, so check it out. What else? Oh, yeah. We're also being simulcast on Twitch now at the SDF Pubnix Twitch account. So if you don't like using Icecast for some reason and want to go use Twitch, you can do that. I don't know what the video looks like, but the audio will be on radio. Alrighty. Well, thanks so much. Let's go ahead and pick on back up, because we've got a lot of murderous police news to get to, and then we have some more world news to get to. Right. U.S. police and public officials donated to Kyle Rittenhouse, a data breach reveals. A data breach at a Christian crowdfunding website has revealed that serving police officers and public officials donated money to fundraisers for accused vigilante murderers, far-right activists, and fellow officers accused of shooting black Americans. In many of these cases, the donations were attached to their official email address, raising questions about the use of public resources in supporting such campaigns. The breach, shared with journalists by Transparency Group Distributed Denial of Secrets, revealed the details of some donors who had previously attempted to conceal their identities using GiveSendGo's anonymity feature, but whose identifying details the website preserved. The beneficiaries of donations from public officials include Kyle Rittenhouse, who stands accused of murdering two protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, last August, who traveled from Illinois. Rittenhouse was the celebrity one, but yeah, other people basically were involved. So that's come out, but don't worry, there's more. Adam Toledo, Chicago police release video of officer shooting boy. Adam Toledo is a 13-year-old boy who was shot and killed by Chicago police. Chicago police have released a graphic footage of an officer shooting dead a 13-year-old boy in a dark alley. Body cam video show the policeman shouting "drop it" before shooting Adam Toledo once in the chest on March 29th. March 29th? Wow, a couple weeks ago. The boy does not appear to be holding a weapon in the split second he is shot, but police video shows a handgun near the spot where he falls. Small protests were held on Thursday evening around Chicago, hours after the city's mayor appealed for calm. The video's release follows the fatal police shooting on April 11th of Dante Wright by an official in the Minneapolis suburb. Don't worry, there's more shootings. And violence. A police officer in Colorado has been placed on administrative leave pending investigations for breaking the arm of a 73-year-old dementia patient who'd forgotten to pay for items worth $14 and was walking away from a Walmart store. The incident took place in June 2020, almost a year ago, when Karen Garner was pushed to the ground and handcuffed by an officer of the Loveland Police Department. She has now filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Loveland and police officers. LPD, which is the local police department, takes very seriously the allegations concerning the arrest of resident Karen Garner and shares with the community the concerns about video images that became public on Wednesday, is what the police department said. While the officer who made the arrest has been placed on administrative leave, two other officers mentioned in the lawsuit, a backup officer and a supervisory sergeant, have been reassigned to administrative duties. According to the lawsuit, Walmart employees had asked Miss Garner to return to the store when they saw her leave without paying and took back the items including a soda, a candy bar, a t-shirt, and wipe refills while denying her request to pay for the items. So, yeah. And then there's a video. You can find this one at The Independent. But, yeah, the police are, there are a lot of stories. And every day there's some story about the police killing or maiming some citizen, but unarmed citizen. But anyway, there were just several of them, and so I wanted to be sure and just block them all together because it's just it's really frustrating. Oh, and don't forget, we also had some extra mass shootings. Most recent one, I believe, is this one. Indianapolis had a mass shooting where 8 people were shot dead. 8 people have been killed and 7 injured in shooting at a FedEx facility in the U.S. city of Indianapolis. The gunman began shooting randomly, almost immediately after exiting his car. He apparently killed himself minutes before police arrived. They have not confirmed the identities of the victims or the gunman. This is the latest incident in a recent uptick of mass shootings across the U.S. Attack began around 2300 local time on Thursday in Indianapolis, Indiana. In the news conference on Friday, city officials said no motive had been established yet and noted that one may never be determined. We'll never really know what all the ins and outs of why this occurred, but we'll try our best, said the police chief. So, big surprise, police not very helpful or useful in this event. And further big surprise, lots and lots of death in the United States from guns. All right, let's jump back and talk about some deaths from people that aren't in the United States. And this is sad because this is more drowning. At least 21 people die after boat sinks off Tunisia. At least 21 people have died after their boat sank off Tunisia's coast as they tried to cross the Mediterranean to reach the Italian island of Lampedusa. This boat sank during a trip that started late on Thursday from Sfax. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to pronounce that, but it's literally capital S, F-A-X, so Sierra Foxtrot Alpha X-ray. So far, the Coast Guard has recovered 21 bodies, and the search is still counting. Still continuing, Mouad Mekri, director of Tunisia's Civil Protection Service, told Reuters news agency on Friday. The Tunisian port city has become a major departure point for people fleeing conflict and poverty in Africa and the Middle East and seeking a better life in Europe. Last month, 39 migrants died off the coast of Sfax, while in another similar incident in June last year, at least 60 were killed when a boat sank. Human smugglers launched vessels, many of them flimsy rubber dinghies or rickety fishing boats, crowded with migrants who hoped to reach European shores to seek asylum. Some are fleeing conflict or persecution, while many of the hundreds of thousands of migrants who have been rescued at sea in the recent years are fleeing poverty. Since 2014, more than 20,000 migrants and refugees have died at sea while trying to reach Europe from Africa. So it's very sad indeed. Since the start of this year, more than 8,500 migrants and refugees have arrived in Italy, with Tunisians being the largest group, according to data from Italy's interior minister. Whew, heavy. Today is a heavy day, lots of dark news. But you know what? We'll have a whole weekend to get over it, and the Dubious Goals Committee always helps me forget about the just darkness enveloping me, all that I see, absolute horror. Sorry, that's a Metallica song. Scores of troops, rebels, killed in heavy clashes near Yemen's city of Marib. Heavy fighting near the Yemeni city of Marib has killed 96 combatants over the past 2 days as Houthi rebels pressed their offensive on government's last northern toehold, Loyalist Command said Friday. Clashes between the two sides on several fronts in the Marib area on Wednesday and Thursday killed 36 Loyalist troops and 60 rebels, one government military source told AFP. We're getting this from France 24. The Iran-backed Shiite rebels rarely disclose their own losses. Aircraft of military coalition led by Saudi Arabia provided air support to government ground forces. The Houthis are keeping up their slow advance on Marib and now constitute a very real threat on the Kasara and Mashja front northwest of the city. The loss of Marib would be a heavy blow for the Yemeni government, currently based in the southern city of Aden, and for its Saudi backers. So, see how that goes, but heavy losses, lots of fighting still going on there. And this is great. This is about some dudes. I wanted to talk about two dudes real quick. How Canada is trying to protect its last 3 spotted owls. I think owls are dudes. There are only 3 known northern spotted owls left in the wild in Canada, including just 1 breeding pair. Their chicks have, on occasion, been taken for a captive breeding program to try and boost the species' prospects. Now Canada and British Columbia have announced a more full-throated response to the potential extinction of the owl within the country's borders. In tandem with the breeding scheme, the province will enforce a 1-year halt to logging in the few remaining old-growth forests where the owls favor until more permanent protections can be instituted. The local Sposum Oh, there's some accents. I don't think I'm saying it right, but Sposum First Nation, and the O has a little hat on it, like a triangle on top of it, and then an apostrophe, and then Zim, the E has the little hat on it, but I don't know how you say that. First Nation in southern British Columbia was part of the announcement calling it a monumental step. The chief, James Hobart, explained that northern spotted owls, also called Skilule, are considered messengers, and their health is indicative of the health of the rest of the environment. Our messengers are extremely powerful beings, Hobart said in a statement. So this is good news. I think it's exciting. Since we're running out of time, we've only got about a minute and a half to go. Let's just go through the headlines real quick. I would suggest on theguardian.com, there's a cool piece about a farmer's life. He says, I've had the same supper for 10 years. I have two pieces of fish, an onion, an egg, baked beans, and biscuits. Being a farmer means every day is the same. And it's a great little piece about the life of a farmer. Since I'm wanting to go off-grid and go live on a farm and do that kind of life, it was news to me for sure. Facebook is facing mass legal action over its data leak. Facebook users whose data was compromised by a massive data leak are being urged to take legal action against the tech giant. About 530 million people had some personal information leaked, and including some cases phone numbers. A digital privacy group is preparing to take a case to the Irish courts on behalf of EU citizens affected. Facebook denies wrongdoing, saying the data was scraped from publicly available information on the site. So we'll see what happens there. Facebook says it was publicly accessible information, so it's not their problem. BBC's reporting Tech Tent. Bye-bye Silicon Valley. Hello global workforce. As coronavirus lockdowns begin to ease in some parts of the world, the debate about the future of work intensifies. In Silicon Valley, some tech companies are having second thoughts about abandoning their offices and letting everyone work from home. And kind of goes into opinion is about the process. Since we don't have time, I would just tell you to go check it out. Kind of questions, hey, why have people in Silicon Valley getting paid six figures when you can pay somebody in Indiana or in China, you know, $80,000 or $90,000. That's all the time we got. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back on Monday. Stick around for the Dubious Goals with Tobe, Committee with Tobe.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Seven.